You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
I would like to first express my appreciation for your invitation. It took me 50 years to get to Tuskegee. 50 years ago, at age 16, I applied for entrance to Tuskegee. My application was accepted, but the immigration laws of the United States of America were such, and I don't think they have changed much, that I couldn't get here. I remembered that such had happened to a man before me by the name of Marcus Messiah Garvey. He was invited by Booker T. Washington. I don't know if you know about him. I heard you don't have a Booker T. Washington Day. Unusual. But anyhow, probably better thoughts may come about and there will be a Booker T. Washington Day at Tuskegee. But anyhow, Marcus Messiah Garvey was invited by Booker T. Washington to come to the United States. The facts are that red tapes in the Immigration Department, Garvey arrived 6 months subsequent to the death of the great Booker T. Washington. So taking 50 years to get here, nevertheless, I got here. I do not know if I would have taken the course of action in my life that I have now taken. However, I was lucky enough to slip through an engineering course and graduate and a few more courses, and here I am. Within the context of my education, if you could call it that, I would prefer to call it the course of my indoctrination, my training, which started in Ethiopia, East Africa, and continued in Brazil, Cuba, Puerto Rico, the United States, Virgin Islands, England, and Spain. Been around a few places. And in all of these places that I've been, I never once received an education in the history of African people. Yet I thought that I've educated myself down through those period of time. And it is because of that self-education in those things which meant most to me as an African person that I decided at no time would I stand still in these halls of indoctrination and not rebel with the necessary documentation of the lies that are being taught in these halls. And so I may be saying things that may hurt many of you, if not most of you, because some of the lies have become your dear frame of reference. We could start with the Greeks. I hope you of fraternities and sororities don't get too bothered about it, since the Greeks weren't too much anyhow. But we can start with that, because there is where our institutions of learning has decided to start civilization. Yet the Greeks are only here from at least 1,000 before the Common Era, or before the Christian Era, as you would prefer to say. Let us just, for example, cite one. And that particular person would be Hippocrates. And I'm sure that you heard of Hippocrates. And when you consider that Hippocrates wasn't born until 333 BC, or before the Common Era, yet in your education you were told that Hippocrates is the father of medicine. That's a lie. There's no way that I can say about it other than it's a lie. A lie is a lie, whether it's in the university or in the church. How could Hippocrates be the father of medicine when the first time you see him, he is in Egypt learning medicine from Africans? There are numerous papyri, medical papyri, on medicine. The nearest to Hippocrates is at least 1,300 years before he was born. For example, we have what is known as the Hettus Papyrus, the Ebers Papyrus, and now the so-called Rockefeller Papyrus, the Edwin C. Smith Papyrus. All of these papyri go back to as early as 3100 BC. the man who Hippocrates took an oath that he would practice medicine according to this man, this African, whom the Greeks call Aesculapius, in the Hippocratic oath. A man by the name of Imhotep died. He practiced medicine and died 2,500 years before the birth of Hippocrates. And you are telling me that the medical school and the pre-medical historians don't know this? They don't know it because, unfortunately, Imhotep had a high visibility like myself, otherwise called black. They don't know that the Ebers Papyrus by Hatshepsut, dealing with Planned Parenthood, I said Planned Parenthood, 1550 years before the birth of Jesus the Christ, is out there, when every medical journal in 1961 published copies of the Ebers Papyrus. And we could go on with the papyri with respect to all kinds of diseases that the Africans had produced, both in Egypt and Ethiopia and Sudan and a place then called Pointe, now called Somalia. But that would be satisfactory. But let us take the kind of education that we do have. We are in a chapel, and we have been told about an immaculate conception and virgin birth. We have been told about the beginning of the world with Adam and Eve. We have been told about a man by the name of Cain who slew his brother Abel. And we've been told that all of these things only happen once. And they go back to the Old Testament, or otherwise called the Torah, or the Pentateuch, or the Kumish. Those are names for what you call the Old Testament. But we have never been told that they are only copies of stories that predated them by thousands of years. I heard some hmms and everything already. Oh yes, you have been told a lot of lies. No other way to talk about it. And those who teach them, if in fact they did any research, must know they are lies. That is providing that they have never gone to Egypt or to Ethiopia or to Sudan to see the living proof. The writings on the tombs, the writings in the pyramids, what is called the pyramid text and the coffin text. That is providing that they have not seen the holy scriptures of the Africans of the Nile Valley, otherwise called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, or as Budge called it in his translation of the Hieratic writing, or the Egyptian Book of the Coming Forth by Day and by Night. In the temple of Setaiwan, for example, at a place called Abydos, not only is there the writings of an immaculate conception 4,000 years before the story of Mary, but it is there in picture form. Are we to say that the theologians of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have never once taken a trip to Egypt from whence these things were taken? In that same temple, you see a story of how Ctesiphon murdered his brother Osiris 2,000 years before the Jewish story of Cain and Abel. And we are told that an African from Egypt by the name of Moses, born in the city of Goshen, that's still Egypt. Egypt is in Africa, by the way, the last time I saw it in January. You heard of a place called Middle East. I don't know of any place called Middle East. That's political jingoism. But we can find that there was no Moses on Mount Horeb in the Sinai to receive any Ten Commandments that had not been given before or written before in Egypt, because you could go in the Book of the Coming Forth by Day and by Night, the Book of the Dead, and see in what is called the Osirian drama, not only those 10, but 32 more, a total of 42, which you can also go in the temple of Ramesses the Sixth in the Valley of the Kings across what is today called Luxor. And in that tomb you would see the 42 listed commandments, or otherwise negative confession, 2,000 years before the birth of Moses. But they told you that Moses was taught. He was an Egyptian, taught in school in Egypt, and became a priest in the system. Could you have been born in the United States of America, went to kindergarten, then elementary school, junior high school, high school, and never heard of the United States Constitution? It was equally impossible for Moses to have born in Egypt, go to school in Egypt, study in an Egyptian system, worship God Amun-Ra, and never once heard of the 42 negative confession, which have in it, thou shalt not kill. I have not killed man nor woman. I have not made like thy bushel. I have not. Moses himself is charged with murder. His brother Aaron is charged with theft. 40 years before they reached Mount Sinai, then somebody had a law against theft and against murder before he reached Mount Sinai. Where did they get it? You weren't taught anything about this. All of this information have been suppressed at a place called the Council of Jamia and the Council of Nicene in 325 AD, when Constantine the Roman Emperor conquered North Africa, took over the role of the Christian church, which started in Alexandria with Pantheus and Boethius, not in Rome. But this too you have not been taught. You have not been taught that the three people who died first in the name of Jesus the Christ were three African women: Felicita, Nymphano, and Perpetua. Yet you know everything. You're born again. You know it all. You can't be blamed for it. Even your teachers may not be able to be blamed for this, because one can't teach what one doesn't know, or one have not learned, or one have not experienced, because there is no interest for people to go to Egypt to see anything but to go to the Holy Land. And that's why Jesse is tied and had to get on his knees and pray and beg forgiveness. He was scared he wouldn't be able to get back in the Holy Land for saying what was right. But there's more than that, because you have been told that unless Europeans teach you, you haven't been taught. But who told you that the first university built in all of Europe was built by Africans called Moors at the university, what is called the University of Salamanca in Spain? Check it out. Europe's first university. Not only the stones were put together like the stones in most of the building and the bricks in most of the building here. I'm not talking about that aspect of only the building. I'm talking about the educational system is nothing but a copy of the University of Genève, D-J-E-N-N-E, of ancient Ghana, which was burnt down and rebuilt as the University of Sankore in the city of Tumbat, which the French later called Timbuktu, then carried, as the Africans called Moors, conquered Iberia, now Spain and Portugal and southern France, and established in there the university system. And as I said before, it was not the first. The earliest of the Greeks were trained in a place called the subordinate lodge of Croton and Delphi. Subordinate lodges of the Grand Lodge in a place called Waset, which the Greeks later changed to Thebes or Thebes. The current Arabs changed it to Luxor. But did you get that in Greek philosophy? Did you get it in Greek history or European history? None whatsoever. And how did you get Hannibal Barca and his father, Hasdrubal Barca, and his brother, and his father rather, Hamilcar, his brother Hasdrubal? How did you receive it in the educational system? How did the textbook show it? It showed it as they were not Africans. What they said is some Phoenicians came from Phoenicia, and Carthage, which they later called Carthage, was in fact a Phoenician country. 80 people came from Phoenicia with a woman named Elisa, which Virgil called Dido or Dido in his little play about it. And those 80 changed all the Africans into Phoenicians. And thus we are taught that the Africans of Carthage were in fact Caucasians. It's all right, when they taught me in school in Puerto Rico, I didn't know any difference. I was born in Ethiopia, grew up in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, and Cuba and Brazil. So when they were teaching me that at the University of Puerto Rico, I knew no difference, and so it went down all right. But I accidentally went to Morocco, accidentally. and find that what I have been taught in school was nothing but a pack of lies. Because I then went into the temple, I then went into the museum and found that it was totally different. But then I went on to Italy in the Medici Museum, the museum of Alessandro de' Medici, only to find that Alessandro was an African born in Italy. And no one had told me up to then that there were Roman emperors from Africa, such as Honorius and Septimus Severus and his son Caracalla. No one had taken time to explain to me anything about the Greeks coming to Egypt and to Nubia and to Ethiopia, depending on who they were, to receive their earliest education, those who had not gone to a little colony, a little enclave in what was then called Lebus, now called Libya, to receive their first glimpse into education taught by Africans. Well, having gone the route of civil engineering and with a bachelor's and then a master's in architectural engineering, you would think that I should be satisfied at that point. But I couldn't be satisfied because the fire had burnt. You see, I was the admirer of two particular people at that time. One called Booker T. Washington, one called Marcus Garvey. In the reverse, Garvey first and then Washington. Garvey, because in my household, Garvey was the word next to the deity. And the relationship between Garvey and Booker T. had become so close that I too followed the teachings, philosophical concept of the late Honorable Booker T. Washington. But within that philosophy was something else both men always taught: the integrity of the individual. And the integrity of the individual refused, in my case, to accept lies, such as Benny Goodman is the king of swing, and Duke Ellington must have been the emperor of swing. Chick Webb, having taught Gene Krupa, I was told that Gene Krupa is the best on the drum, but he went to Chick Webb to get to be the best on the drum. I don't know if you know Chick Webb, you know Ella Fitzgerald, that's Chick taught her. I just throw that in to show you that the lie doesn't stop in ancient time. It continues up to today as truth. And so in my further examination, I was dealing with 3.14. All of you here in engineering knows what it's supposed to symbolize. They say it's pi. And I was taught that it came from the Greeks. And you know, I believed it. What else could I do? The teacher told me. And then when I went to Ethiopia and to Egypt and to Nubia, in the ancient records of the ancient Africans of the Nile Valley Africans, there was pi being used 2,000 years before there was such a place as Greece. The first writer of Greece that brought Greece into civilization, because they said the demarcation between uncivilized and civilized have to do with the time when you start writing history, they call it, prehistoric and historic. And Homer is the Greek first writer. And Homer said that even the concept of God, Zeus and Apollo, came from Ethiopia. So when you get in the Greek fraternities and sororities, just remember what Homer said. You must have dealt with the Iliad and the Odyssey by now. But again, I understand. You see, you have been taught by Alex Haley and others that your history started in the slave trade. But they don't even tell you how the slave trade started. They blame you for enslaving yourself. They say your ancestors sold you out. Nice statement. So I asked the guy, what country, what was the name of the king? Oh, don't worry about that, they sold you out. As if I don't know that the slave trade started with the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church by the name of Martin V and Reverend Bartholomew de las Casas on the island of Hispaniola, now called Haiti and Santo Domingo. You see, nobody told you it's time to get sorry, to feel bad, when some Haitians were being slaughtered on the coast of Florida. That's what it is. If you send a people back to sea on the condition where they were, that's genocide. But you see, you didn't feel anything because you weren't taught to realize that the Haitians are your brothers and sisters, because you don't know that the first Africans to be brought in slavery was not taken from Africa, but from Spain and carried to Haiti, then called Hispaniola, in 1506 under the aegis of the Pope of the Roman Church and Bartolomé de las Casas. But how did you get in Spain? That was 1506. But you went into Spain, which was then called Iberia, Spain and Portugal and southern France, as conquerors yourself in 711 under the leadership of Tariq, for whom the Rock of Gibraltar is now named Gibraltarik. Nothing in your education, because there's nothing in your textbooks about any of this. So you'll have to go to Spain. Luckily, at the University of Barcelona, where I attended for 2 years, there are these documents, and I had never known anything about them. I had known that the Africans called Moors had ruled Spain from 711 until 1485. The last of them losing power at a place called Granada. I was always wondering, why is it that 90% of all the songs coming out of Spain were singing to La Morena, the black woman? So how come in this country 90% of all the songs, the records, the tapes, everything is La Morena this and La Morena that? It is when I went there I found out La Morena raised hell in Spain. She's still raising hell in Montgomery, Alabama, and in Tuskegee, Alabama, and in Tuskegee Institute. I could look around and see her. Of course, the first one of you threw a good baseball and a good basketball, forget that she could raise hell. You don't want her for a wife anymore. You hit the numbers, you don't want her for a wife. Some of you forget she looked like your mama. Sorry, fellas. Try one and maybe good for your health. But we must go back and ask ourselves, why is this so? And I said to the students today at the high school, even the paper you write on shows your heritage and your history. It was in Egypt, Ethiopia, and Sudan that the first papyrus paper was created, not rice paper in China. Just as it was in Egypt that engineering, Sesostris II, you are engineers, many of you, Sesostris II changed the flow of the Nile. That S-turn you see there was placed there by African engineers in 2250 BC. There was no Jesus yet, no Adam and Eve story yet, because that came out of the Sanhedrin in 700 BC, just yesterday. When the African engineers was changing the flow of the Nile. Hydrographic engineering, there was no Adam, no Eve yet. No Jehovah, because Abraham, the first Jew that brought out the concept of a Jehovah, wasn't even born. The Africans had already worshipped Ptah, P-T-A-H. Amun-Ra, you still say Amen at the end of each pray, and they told you it means so be it. That's a lie. Amun was the god of the north. When Scorpio, the pharaoh, headed the north and Egypt was divided into two groups, it had gone into a civil war. And Mena, Onama, was the king of the south, and his god was Ra. The conquest of Mena over Scorpion allowed Mena to join God Amun with God Ra and call Amun Ra, thousands of years before there was a Jehovah, Jesus, or Allah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah wasn't born until 570 of the Christian era. Pantheus and Boethius, that started Christianity, wasn't born until 50 AD, according to the story. And Abraham, who started the concept of a God named Jehovah, and Adam and Eve's story wasn't born until 1760 BC. The Africans of Egypt and Ethiopia and Nubia were already in their 13th dynastic period. No different than the lie they told us that the Jews built the pyramids. Which one? The little one in their bathtub? There are 72 pyramids throughout Egypt. The first one was designed, engineered, and built by the multi-genius first one known in the world, Imhotep. That was the third dynasty. The last one was the sixth dynasty. And the first Jew wasn't born until the 13th dynasty. You can't build a pyramid before you're born. But the myth and the lie continues. Now they're even making people from outer space build the pyramids from the top down. Those of you here are engineering knows how they build it from the top down. They took the first stone with some skyhook and connected to the cloud passing by. I'm not supposed to speak about these things. Oh, I'm supposed to be glad somebody give me a piece of goat skin with a thing on it that said PhD twice. And I'm supposed to be so good. I got one of these goat skin, PhD, all in Latin. Feel good, ain't it? Different person. My mother isn't my mother anymore. My father isn't my father anymore. Black folks are not related to me anymore. I'm Greek, Dutch, Japanese, whatever else. I am Rainbow Coalition now. I don't talk to my cousin anymore. They can't sit at my table at the college anymore because I'm Abba Dabba Labba Labba fraternity.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
And join the struggle to win the war of ideas and the struggle for African liberation. We are seeking volunteer activists to join our Uhuru Radio team as producers, hosts, and engineers. You can become an official distributor of the Burning Spear newspaper, the longest Black Power publication since the 1960s. Are you a copy editor or proof editor? We can use your expertise. Are you a video editor? We can see you as part of our progressive team. Volunteering means giving poor and oppressed people worldwide access to the voice of the international African working class. Call us at 727-824-5700. That's 727-824-5700 and get involved. You can donate meaningfully and become a sustaining paying member by logging on to uhurunews.com or again, call 727-824-5700. That's 727-824-5700. Get up, get into it, get involved.
Everybody, you! Come on! Come on!
It's now time to order Omali Ishitela's new book, The Uneasy Equilibrium, The African Revolution versus Parasitic Capitalism. Chairman Omali's groundbreaking political analysis shows the way forward for people looking for answers during this period of crisis for imperialism, a crisis that offers great opportunity for colonized peoples everywhere. This latest book by the founder and leader of the African Socialist International and the Uhuru Movement costs $29.99. Order now at burningspearmarketplace.com or by calling 727-824-5700. Call 727-824-5700 or visit burningspearmarketplace.com today. Uhuru means freedom.
Shane Watson G here. When I'm on the internet, I tune in to Golden Sunday Sounds on the Uhuru Radio Network from 7 through 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is Alan Bomar Jones. The Uhuru Radio Network gives a voice to the voiceless and stands for freedom for African people everywhere. Support it with your contribution today.
Information, ideas, reality. That's what the Burning Spear newspaper offers you each month. Truth about government, society, entertainment, and the world around you. The Burning Spear is the oldest Black Power newspaper in existence, and your one-year subscription is only $25. Get the insight and perspective that the mass media machine cannot and will not deliver. Read dynamic articles on the most pressing issues affecting the lives of African workers in the U.S., Africa, and around the world. Each month, month, you'll find real political analysis of the crisis of parasitic capitalism, insight into world and local events, and a focus on the realities and struggles in the heart of the hood, expressing the vision and voice of the African working class. Uncompromising truth, unwavering focus, the Burning Spear Newspaper. This is Black Power in the 21st century. Subscribe today and don't get fooled again. Order your subscription now. Go to BurningSpearMarketplace.com and click on Spear. That's BurningSpearMarketplace.com and click on Spear. Uhuru.
Oh, the things we go through. All to keep up on the Pan-African concept. You know, when I heard that in, I think it was Selma, Alabama, or Montgomery, that six little black girls were blown up in a little temple, in a little Baptist temple. Tears ran down my eyes. Because my girls, I got nine, were blown up. When they were blown up. When they were blown up, mine, it was my children blew up. How could I sit in my living room in New York and felt comfortable knowing? You see, people don't want me to feel. If you kill one European Jew in Ushkush, because he is Jewish, the whole white Jewish community getting armed. But if you kill umpteen blacks, I am not supposed to say anything, otherwise I'm being racist. You see, they didn't tell you that there are black people who are Jews. So you say blacks and Jews are going to have a conference. Couldn't be blacks Jews too? Oh, you never heard of the Falashas, the Ethiopian Jews? I'm one. I know that I don't look Jewish, but they don't look Jewish to me either. But this, you see, is rough stuff, because I'm dealing with things that you are not supposed to hear or deal with. Tomorrow there's going to be a question and answer period, and all who don't agree with it could ask their question and make their comment. They shouldn't wait till tomorrow when I'm gone and sneakily run and tell you I knew better. They are called the Falashas, but you didn't hear anyone saying anything in America when the Italian fascists were exterminating the Falashas. Nobody said anything. And it was the forerunner to what Hitler was to come and do next. But there was no rallying cry about my people. We were 5 million when Mussolini arrived. With the help of the Pope, Pius, 11th, I think it was. When the Italians left, we were 50,000. But no cry. Isn't it strange that when you write and when you are taught, you hear only about a Holocaust? What happened to your Holocaust that's still going on? What happened to the 50 million Africans, your brothers and sisters, that were murdered in Monomotapa, now called South Africa? Under Cecil John Rhodes. Do you know that black folks take scholarship in honor of John Rhodes, Cecil John Rhodes? Because you don't know. Nobody told you who Rhodes was. Rhodes make Hitler look like a playboy. You don't know about the Holocaust with Frederick Lugard and Dr. Jameson in what is today called Nigeria, with Goldie and others when they took over the colony. You don't know about the Holocaust with Leopold II, the Vanderbilts and the Pews and the others, the Rockefellers and so forth, when they took over what was called Manicongo in those days and changed it to the Congo Free State. How many millions? 22 million were exterminated. African women pregnant were placed in the middle of roads and tree limbs put to both arms, and then cut with the horses and split them open, and the babies fell out as punishment that the men would see it. These are records they themselves wrote, not realizing that Africans will come later to revenge these causes. But that isn't mentioned as Holocaust in any of your textbooks, because it was only Africans being exterminated. I don't expect enemies to say this, but I do expect that when you write and when you do your research, that you use the appropriate term, genocide, Holocaust, wherever it applies. In Tasmania, an island off Australia, every last African was murdered. There isn't one left, and you don't call it a Holocaust. You don't cry about it. You don't get up any day complaining. Nobody comes to you and asks you, but you cry for everybody else's Holocaust. Because you weren't taught that these people had anything at all to do with you. You forget that the slave boat did not come from Africa to America. It came from Africa to the Caribbean, from the Caribbean to America. The first boat that brought Africans here were not from Africa, but from Barbados. The first that came to Virginia in 1619 in Jamestown. So you weren't told that there's any connection. As a matter of fact, the people from Alabama don't feel anything for the people of New Jersey, and the people of New Jersey don't feel anything for the people of Mississippi, etc., etc. We have not been taught that way. Thus, we couldn't even have with Jesse an African drive for an African people. In the midst of the drive, we had to change to rainbow. And you stood here and got on your knees and begged for a holiday for Dr. King. You disgraced Dr. King. The enemy never award his foe with a holiday. The Italians got a day for a man that got lost, couldn't find his way. Columbus Day. They didn't go to anybody for the holiday. The Irish got a day for a man that killed snakes in Ireland. They didn't go to anybody for holiday. The Poles got a day for Pulaski. They didn't go and beg a day. Why didn't you take a day? You had to go beg for even a day to worship a great man. But you failed to understand that King did not operate alone. There was a man at the same time named Malcolm X. And somebody told you that Malcolm X preached violence. How the hell you think you got here? By nonviolence? How you think you got lynched? And how you think King died? By a bullet like Malcolm X. Malcolm left a woman named Betty with 6 daughters, 2 in her stomach when he died. They've never seen their daddy. King left a woman with 3 children too. What is it about one struggling for you that isn't about the other struggling for you? You'd let people decide for you who fights for you. What made Malcolm less a fighter for you than King? They both died fighting in the best way they knew for their people. None worse or none better than the other. But worst of all, you have not one day cried for Rosa Parks. And that sister started all. Just give them black sisters a chance. They will show us brothers the way. Because you see, they know that when the Africans were built, made their first calendar in 10,000 BC, 10,000 BC, called the Stellar Calendar, and revised that in 4100 BC, the so-called pre-dynastic era. Where was Greece? Where was Etrusca that later became Rome? They don't tell you about this, do they? They don't tell you anything about this aspect of the African, because it's not slavery. It doesn't deal with Amos and Andy. It doesn't deal with roots and novel, which they got you to believe had something to do with your history. They couldn't do this because they did not. Where were they when you were dealing with astronomy? That's the movement of the stars and the other planets related thereto. And astrology. I'm not talking no nonsense about when your girlfriend planet is down in Pluto and some. That's ignorance. Downright premeditated ignorance. Even a jackass wouldn't follow that. And some of you wouldn't come out the house unless you read a horoscope. And you get courses in it in universities now. How to be a jackass. Let us get it down. When Imhotep and others established the pyramid text and the coffin text, when you go to a place called Aswan and you see how the Africans, your ancestors, dug those marble obelisks And when you go, you hear others they tell you in school, and they read the beautiful love story about the Majahara who built his palace for his most beloved wife, the Taj Mahal. They didn't stop to tell you that thousands of years before that, a pharaoh by the name of Ramesses II not only built a temple out of hewn rock bigger than this place, along with one for his most beautiful and most precious wife, Nefertara. Don't mix her up with Nefertiti. Nefertiti was the wife of Amenhotep IV, who changed his name to Akhenaten. That's the 18th dynasty. I am talking about Nefertara, the wife of Ramesses II. That is the 19th dynasty. No mention about that. Because they can't tell you African men did anything good for African women, much less to mention pharaohs and queens. Yet the evidence is still there. You go to Ethiopia at a place called Lalibela, and you see the rock-hewn temples, the rock-hewn churches in the side of mountain, down in the ground, engineering thousands of years before any country existed in all of Europe. I'm not to speak about it. All I say to you is check me out. Check these things out for yourself. Go and see them. Read about them. Research about them. So when what happened? You say, why do I need to know it? If Dr. Martin Luther King knew what I'm talking about, he would not have gone to Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi to learn about nonviolence. He would have known that Gandhi read the works of Akhenaten to learn about those, and he would have gone home to his native Africa to get first-hand information. But they kept the teachings from in all the university, even when he went to University of Massachusetts, BU rather, with Dr. Harmon and others up there. They didn't tell him about Akhenaten. Because, you see, they don't talk about Akhenaten, because Akhenaten taught about monotheism. He died before Moses was born, preaching monotheism. The worship of the god Aten, A-T-E-N. He taught about the Trinity of God, and you could go at a temple called the Temple of Luxor and see on the wall the Trinitarian concept 3,000 years before Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But they couldn't teach Akhenaten. They couldn't teach these things, because then you would question what is being taught to you now in theosophy, in theology, in philosophy. But the point is that I'm going to be the bad fellow when this is over. And you're going to be told that he is the Antichrist. But the funny thing is, I don't have three names with six letters each. So I can't qualify for the Antichrist. They already specified how the Antichrist would come. And I look too much like Jesus to be the Antichrist. Oh yeah! What happened to Jesus since he got blonde? When? Ask your professor of theology how Jesus got blonde. Ask your professor if it was not until Michelangelo was commissioned by Pope Julius II in 1509 to draw what he believed the Holy Family looked like that he took his uncle's son, and his uncle's wife, and used them as the model, and that became Mary, Jesus, and Joseph. Up until that time, it was the black Madonna and child, which the present Pope went back twice to his native to worship at the feet of the black Madonna and child. You see, the racism hadn't hit Europe yet. So it wasn't necessary to get rid of the black color of Mary, which you now say. When you don't want to say Jesus was black, you say he had no color. If he had no color, how did John the Baptist see him to baptize him? Talking about baptismal, you should go to the temples there and see baptism of the pharaohs thousands of years before Jesus. They call it purification rites. Go and see circumcisions thousands of years before there was an Abraham to be circumcised, and that to make him a Jew. our education, quotation mark. I think that Carter G. Woodson, and I should have mentioned this man's name long ago, said it best in his book. The title explains what I'm saying, The Miseducation of the Negro. Assuming that Carter knew at that time that Negro was wrong, but he had no choice because he was fired from Howard University by a man named Mordecai Kaplan, who was the president of the school at the time, for attempting to introduce a course in African history in a black school. Sad, isn't it? But how we can be messed up, and we mess up others because we messed up, but we can't admit it because we can't be wrong. We have to always have a theory and tell the student it's a fact for all things. It's like the other day I heard a woman talking, oh God, my daughter got an illegitimate child. So what happened to the child? You didn't have a law book? Illegitimate child. And I wanted to know what was that. So I went to the hospital to see what was wrong with the child. I said, did the child got a mother and a father? They had sex with a penis and a vagina? What's wrong with the child? Well, she didn't have a marriage certificate. I said, what that have to do with child? Do you know that Jesus and Mary and Joseph wasn't married? And that she wasn't married to the little angel either? But you go around calling each other bastard and illegitimate. How you know you belong to your daddy? You're gambling with your mommy. But you go around and then say, oh, I'm a good Christian lady. I'm a good Jewish lady. I'm a good Muslim lady. But you condemn a child for having a daddy and without a paper from City Hall. In those days, tell me, with your Adam and Eve story, the God didn't say, go to City Hall, get a paper, get married, then go out and multiply. God says in the book of Genesis, say, after he made a man and a woman, it's only in the second time he's going to create one and make the other. He says, go out and get it now. Go out and multiply. That doesn't mean that you act like a pig in a basket and dropping everything you got. That doesn't say that. But it doesn't also say that if God give a woman a vagina and a man a penis, why do you think God gave them that? To use it. We're going to put it in a picture frame and look at it. But this is the kind of distortion that you have been given by the same man who asks you to give him 10% of your salary every Saturday, every Sunday. Oh, I'm going to hell. That's no big deal. Because they said only 777,000 going to heaven. How many people in the United States of America? 220 million? If 777,000 alone going to heaven, you got as much chance hitting the grand prize in New York, in New Jersey, in California, in London, in France, as you got getting in heaven. So I'm sticking with the devil. Because since he got more followers than anybody else, you don't hear the devil having to advertise, come to church. Because he got what's going. Because you pray so much. The other day you pray, Jesus came here in Harlem the other day with his heaven mobile. In the middle of Harlem, coming down Lenox Avenue at 145th Street, 11 o'clock Sunday, Jesus knew he had brought all the things black people were asking for. The heavenmobile was full, even much more full than Santa Claus's chariot. 11 o'clock when the bell rang, the first thing Jesus heard, give me! He says, oh hell, I didn't bring enough, and he went right back. Because they were still begging, give me a fur coat, Lord. Give me a new Cadillac. Give me a European girl. Give me a job. The same people forget that the same book said, I will help those who help themselves. You pray for the exam. Pray. Don't do it. Break. Let me know when you flunk out. There's a certain amount of pray. You say, do you pray? Yes. I pray when I get in the airplane. I pray now. I have to go to the church to pray. You know what I'm praying about? Strength to beat my enemy. I don't want God to give me no TV set. I'm working, get that. I pray for God to hold the moon from bumping into the sun. That's all I want God to do. Stop an iceberg from falling my head in Alabama. That's a long way the iceberg got to travel. But I want the iceberg to leave Alaska, because if the iceberg hit me in Alabama, we all dead. But I'm not going to pray for God to help me to beat my enemy. I don't do that myself. And I'm not non-violent. When my mother had me, she didn't have me non-violent. A 9-pound baby don't come out non-violent. You hit me and start praying. You pray. Because it's not natural. Because I know this. You see, when King Uri of Ethiopia in 5100 established the concept of nonviolence, he didn't say at any cost. When Akhenaten brought his cousin Semenkari and sit him on the throne of Egypt as co-regent in the 18th dynasty so that he could pay attention to nonviolence, he didn't say at any cost. Not at the destruction of his people. When Rosa Parks got up in that bus, she had no PhD, no M anything, no B anything, but she had the integrity of an African woman that she was no longer going to sit down in the back of the bus, and she was willing to die and take somebody with her. I know these are alien talks. These are alien thoughts, because you believe that praying going to change it. No way. Praying didn't change lynching, because it still goes on. Instead of a Ku Klux Klan doing it, the government does it. But most of us in our academic role don't want to deal with this thing. And I can understand, because it means the difference between tenure, the bank mortgage, the yacht in the basin, the Mercedes-Benz. But you could see why, from 1942, when I started to teach, to the present time, I've had to struggle. I've paid the price. I've been shot at physically for what I teach. But no one wants to check the evidence. But the hundreds of people who have gone to me to Egypt and study tours have seen. And the sad part is that so many go and see, but they dare not say a thing when they come back for the fear of losing even family. How sad that is. How sad it is that people will be angry because I say to you, have pride, wake up. I shouldn't say to you, wake up black men. I should say to you, wake up people. I'm the only people in the world, we are, not allowed to talk to each other for our own common interest. Everyone else, the Italians come together as Italians, the Irish as Irish, the white Jews as white Jews, but we were told we can't have anything by ourselves because it's reverse racism. They can't even let us have forward racism. We're in reverse. Everybody has benefited by us, but us. And all because I have made my mind that my people aren't to be taught that they come out of a, drop out of the sky as slaves and were slaves. And every time you see a movie from Washington, D.C. or anything, whatever the period, the only time you see us, we are slaves. History isn't a thing of the past. Because of history, you act and react today. History is now. What happened yesterday make you act today and will make you act tomorrow. What happened to Booker T. Washington made what you are doing possible. The interaction of the people with whom Booker T. dealt with. And so it will be unbecoming you not to go forward and further the attributes of Booker T., Dr. Carver and others. And I say, I walked with my head in the clouds because I have no fear. I have no embarrassment of my enslavement because, you see, the shackles have been off my body, my leg, my feet, and I've removed it from the last place, my mind. And thus I am a free man. When I look in the mirror, I feel proud of what I see. Don't accept what I say. Check it out. Read books about yourself. There are millions of them. Let no one tell you to the contrary. Read all kinds of religious dogmas and theories. Don't let anyone tell you this is it and there's no more. Read it all. Read mine. If you could read Mein Kampf, you could read anybody's holy Bible. The Hindu Bhagavad, the Muslim Quran, the Christian Holy Bible, New Testament, the Jewish Old Testament, the book of Olodumare, the teachings of Olodumare, that's the Yoruba religion. The teachings of Dambalawelo, the teachings of Budum, and by the way, it has nothing to do with witchcraft. The teachings of Ngai, the major god in Kenya, Unkulunkulu of South Africa, Ra, Pita, Osiris, the god of resurrection, 4,000 years before Jesus, he was taught to raise men from the dead. He's known as the god of resurrection. Read about your people in the past, the present, the future. Understand Du Bois as he understood Garvey. Understand Malcolm as you understood King. Understand these men. Understand Sojourner Truth as you understand Harriet Tubman. Go back into the past and read about your most beautiful and your most strong queen like Hatshepsut, who fought and drove out the Hyksos out of Egypt. And Zinga, who fought for 13 years ahead of her troops, defeating the Germans and the British and others before she died on the battlefield. Queen Kahina, who stopped the Arabs in North Africa and died at the head of her troops. These are great and glorious African women. Read about the African woman who took the guts of a pig, took out the feast, clean it out, wash it out, cook it so her man could get a little protein and her children, call it chitlin or crimple steak, either way you want. The African woman who had sense enough to send her daughter to school when her man child had to go in the work force before sunup to after sundown. Show me how you treat your woman, and I show you the condition of your race. Thank you.
You've been listening to Great Moments in African History.
That the police only come to this community looking for a problem that they define as crime. It's not like they have any stakes in this community at all. They come from the outside as an invading force, and their only purpose is looking for a problem. It's not like they are part of the fabric of this community or anything like that. So three people, four people walking down the street is a potential crime to the police. We walk down the street in groups all the time, and people who live in this community don't assume that you have committed a crime or about to commit a crime just because you're walking down the street together. But the police comes to this community as an outside force that's looking for trouble. That's the only reason they come, that they define as crime. All kinds of madness that makes no sense to the community at all occurs on a regular basis because the cops are here looking for trouble. I think it's really important to recognize that we're not talking about a phenomenon that occurs just in one city, one community, but it's everywhere. You know, you can't say all the police have poor training, therefore that's how they act a certain way. All the police in the country culturally insensitive to black people. That's why we have the problem. No. Or that we need more black cops. For example, that's what they say about Ferguson. Well, you have a Philadelphia that's filled with black cops and, you know, headed by black cops, and the horrors that people can talk about with police there, it clearly seems to refute the notion that just more black cops. So I think that the fundamental problem is that the police is an outside invading force, and that the most democratic response to be made is that the black community should be responsible for policing itself. Black community control of the police is the only meaningful response to this. Poverty is a problem in this community. Joblessness is a problem in this community. Bad housing, a problem in this community. And then the police comes along. It plays a function dealing with what they call crime that's sparked in part by things like no places to live, no food to eat, etc., etc., etc. So the police have to have a mission that's consistent with the needs of this community and not with the needs of somebody outside of this community to fix what they call crime.